Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another RPG commentaries. I am your host, as always, the marvelous Iggy. Unfortunately, my best friend, Mr. Dragon, will not be joining us tonight. But instead, back from our most recent show of The Dark Knight Rises is internet celebrity, Kuhan. Kuhan, welcome back.
That train wreck. This is going to be much less of a train wreck
Well,
movie, I hope.
when we get to the third movie. And then the fourth movie, so we're not out of train wreck yet. So here we are. Our next official commentaries marathon will be on the X-Men trilogy series of movies, not trilogy. This is released in May, Memorial Day 2000. I know that because I remember going to the midnight showing of this movie. This is a huge deal to me. Kuhan, because I don't want this to be all about me, what is your history with this movie and the X-Men?
First of all, I just want to say, look at that nice early 2000 CG.
Oh God,
Where
yeah.
this is that time where every movie had to start with like this weird CG opening. Like Spider-Man actually did the same thing 2 years later.
Yeah.
My history of the movie, I think I first saw this movie actually on like a pirated DVD with like four different movies I got in Pakistan. I think it had X-Men, Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Hellboy or something like that.
That's
And I
not
think
dumb.
that's the first way I saw this movie. I don't remember though, but yeah, I didn't have like a rich history of this movie. Actually, I think I've only watched this two or three times until now. If that even, maybe even once.
Okay. Well, I mean, and this is like, I know a lot of people like to reference Blade, but this is the real, like, legit first superhero
Oh yeah.
movie. You know, that, like,
Oh
this
yeah.
is the movie that put, like, like a lot of credit goes to the Marvel boom now, but there would be no Thor or Iron Man without this one. This one sort of made, like, hey, you can make superhero movies good, especially coming off of, like, the Batman, Batman and Robin, stuff like that.
Right.
You
Yeah,
know,
well,
so.
it was I mean, yes, there was the Batman, there was the Blade and all that, but it was X-Men and then Spider-Man, and then
Yes.
that led into the new Batman trilogy, and then really like Dark Knight made it a lot easier for all the Marvel
Yes.
movies, and then this
But
push.
here's
But
where the
really
act.
it really did start here with X-Men.
Yes, and it does not like at least when I've noticed on like pop culture people, it doesn't get as much credit as it should for what it did to superheroes in Hollywood. So here, and I was excited because growing up as a kid, I grew up watching the 1990s X-Men animated series. And I'm a much more bigger X-Men fan than I am an Avengers fan. So when I heard that my dad told me this was being made to X-Men was being made to a movie, I flipped my shit. As a 10, I was 9 when he told me because this movie came out in 2000, so I was 10 when the movie came out, which makes me feel fucking old.
So here's my question,
Yeah.
is when this movie started and you got this scene, were you like, did I walk into the wrong theater?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is I like and I was a very vulgar 10-year-old. I was like, what's going on? It's like, but it's this scene is really depressing, but also tells the story of one of the most prominent characters in X-Men history.
And this is actually because, because the X-Men movie is far more in the popular culture than any of the X-Men cartoons or the comic books.
Yes.
This really is most people's visual of Magneto.
Yeah, the survivor of Nazi
Right.
Germany and
Yeah, and so really, in most people's heads, like Magneto is much more of a tragic character than the way he was introduced in the comic books. He was definitely
he was definitely a villain.
right,
And over
but
the
this movie.
years they've morphed him into like a freedom fighter from some perspectives and or but you can understand where he's coming from, but that doesn't make what he does any
Yeah,
less evil.
of course. But this movie starts with this, until now, when he's apparently a hero and he's on the X-Men. This movie starts off with this Holocaust imagery, and you're like, oh, like Magneto had a screwed up childhood or whatever. And it's like, yeah, like that's, yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, if you want a good Magneto Testament, which came out a couple of years ago. That's a really good look at Magneto's life during the Holocaust. And now we cut away to something completely different.
Yeah, and now for something completely different.
Yes.
And even this doesn't feel like X-Men just yet,
No,
like.
it doesn't. And you don't even know, like, we know this is Rogue, obviously. This is Anna Marie, who, I'm gonna go ahead and say it right now, because again, growing up with the animated series, I was like, "Hey, sugar, that very Southern Belle accent that she has," and What is this actress's name? I know her name, but I don't have the box in front of me. Anna
Anna
Paquin.
Paquin.
Yeah, Anna Paquin. She doesn't do the southern drawl as much as I would like her to do, but that's just a nitpick.
Yeah, they did a lot of that stuff in this movie that was like, comic fan nitpicks. It wasn't, happening.
Yeah.
So, because for example, this the fact that Wolverine is 6'4".
Yeah.
I don't know. That was I remember because I wasn't even like huge into comics or anything then in 19 in sorry in 2000. I was 7, so I was not really into a lot of this stuff. But I remember either around then or soon after. Reading about how people were really, really annoyed
Hugh
that
Jackman, I mean that.
Wolverine, that Hugh Jackman is a tall guy and Wolverine should be 5'3".
Yeah, honestly, I never cared as a kid. I'm only a couple years older than you, but I never really cared. I just,
Yeah.
and we're gonna see Wolverine the
Well,
second.
you're only a couple years older, but also like you grew up like your dad was a huge geek that my dad was not,
Yeah.
so. It's definitely significantly different. The preconceived notions we had going into this movie, and you watched the X-Men cartoon when I was a kid. I'm a couple years younger, so I watched the Spider-Man cartoon as a kid. So Spider-Man was way, way bigger to me than X-Men were,
Yeah.
even though they're technically the same universe, those two
Well, they I
cartoons.
mean they
But
are. They crossed over and that was a huge fucking deal.
yeah.
At least for kids back in the day. Now it's like another Thursday. And this sort of sets off like the setting up the whole establishing that the mutants are the new fighting for their own individual rights, obviously mirroring the civil rights movement at the time. Now the thing is, a little X-Men trivia right now. The X-Men really didn't do that stuff until Chris Claremont came onto the book. And that the X-Men were just another superhero team that were born with powers. The whole idea
Which,
that. Go
I
ahead.
mean, Chris Claremont's run was not too long after, like, what was that? The 70s, right?
Yes, it was in the it was
Yeah,
in the
so that's
70s into the 80s, well, up until the 90s until he got unceremoniously booted off the book.
right. So that it wasn't super long after the book itself started, for one thing.
Yeah.
And obviously the Claremont run is so iconic. It's honestly, Chris Claremont should be credited as a creator of the X-Men alongside Stan Lee.
Yes, I mean more. I mean, I would say more so because, it's they didn't become the X-Men until Chris Claremont and John Byrne came on the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Stan and Jack created them, but they didn't have an identity.
And I'm not like a huge X-Men fan. I actually like I don't read any X books, except I read the X Factor book. But like, and when I go weekly to get my comics, I'm fan X-Men. I just don't care.
Yeah. By the way, I'm gonna go ahead
I
and say
watched
this
X-Men
right.
Evolution.
That's a good cartoon. This, okay. A lot of people like to nitpick on comic book casting. These two gentlemen, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Patrick Stewart. These two are perfect for their roles. They,
Yeah,
like.
the one thing is I know the one nitpick people have on Patrick Stewart, I don't care, is that he is not American and Professor X is.
Yeah,
And then
that's.
the other one is that Ian McKellen is British and not
Yeah.
like German. But again, I don't
That
care.
yeah,
Like that's
like
whatever.
they capture the spirit of what those characters should be.
And I
And
mean, it doesn't hurt that they're both such good actors to begin
yes.
with. Actually, there's a story of when like Patrick Stewart was obviously for decades people said Patrick Stewart should be
Professor
Professor
X.
X.
Yeah.
The first time that he was approached about the role, someone showed him a comic book with like an X-Men comic and said, why is my face on the cover of this comic?
No, that's great. I mean, like now I can't even like read con like
Yeah.
it's so much now that I hear Sir Ian McKellen's voice as Professor X.
Yeah.
Same with same,
Magneto.
yeah, same with Magneto. Although Magneto's different because like they made him look younger, so it's kind of hard to hear that older voice. With
So instead you hear Michael Fassbender?
a little bit with the Irish accent leaking in, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, those two, but those two like also gave like more legitimacy that such.
You hear Michael Fassbender's inconsistent accent?
Yes, yes,
We'll
I do.
talk about that in a few weeks, I guess.
Yes, we will. But I mean, also like that, those two actors, those are such high profile quality actors to be in part of a superhero film, which were considered low. Like I wouldn't be surprised if it was considered low tier. or garbage to be part of something like this, and this, it gave it
which
look.
It took a while for something like that to happen again, because
yes.
like, you know, in the Spider-Man movies, it was mostly like these, you know, like Willem Dafoe, I guess, a little bit, and Alfred Molina a little bit, but like for the most part, it was until like, you know, Sam Jackson even is not as much as like Anthony Hopkins in Thor.
Yes,
it's huge.
Yeah, like I'll make another comparison. Like Marlon Brando joining the Superman movie, that gave it some legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
know,
true.
It's like that. This right here.
That was Marlon Brando on like the top of his career. Like,
yeah.
It's still a little different than Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. This is Ian McKellen like right before Lord of the Rings.
Yes. This little scene right here kind of sums up, you know, is a perfect introduction to Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
No words, just his posture, just Hugh Jackman acting physically, and you get who Wolverine is right here.
Yeah. I mean, again, people harped on Hugh Jackman being a foot too tall for Wolverine, but he, and I still harp on Wolverine being in every single X-Men movie, and the fact that it's really unneeded, and I'm definitely getting Wolverine out. Too much of Wolverine.
Yeah.
But you can't say that Hugh Jackman does not play this role.
No, he owns it. He owns it. He is Wolverine. You know, he like, just much like Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, I can't see another actor playing Wolverine. I can't. I know he's getting older, but he doesn't
look like it though.
No, he doesn't.
Which is I mean, it's perfect because it's Wolverine. Like
exactly.
That's it. Just sort of worked. They happen to get the guy that barely ages.
Mm-hmm.
But he kills it.
Yeah, I did like the little metal sound effects. So like if you knew, like if you don't know, like if you, I can imagine if like you're a newbie, not a newbie, but like a person who doesn't read X-Men, and
right.
You're like, what the fuck is that? But if you're like a person who's like, oh, that's the metal, like, you know, it's the adamantium in them. You know, it's a way of saying it's there, but not like, and my adamantium skeleton will hit you really hard. I want that jacket, by the way.
It's a cool jacket.
I wanted
that jacket too when I was 7 years old, and I still definitely want that jacket. That's
yes.
Somehow
he gets it back from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Whatever.
He just somehow gets it back. I guess Gambit came along. Which we'll get into that when we record that one. Because that one's gonna be fun.
Maybe he just bought another jacket. I'm sure it's like
another identical jacket that he stole from the Kent family. Okay.
Whatever, man. Look, I'm pretty sure Origins Wolverine was out of continuity immediately after it happened.
Definitely it was.
But
it didn't fit.
They released that movie and they're like, never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's go do First Class now.
Yeah, I mean, just look at this. Just look at, you know, Hugh Jackman saying a single word perfectly captures Wolverine. I did like how they did his hair, like
he said, his hair does, and they don't do any of the costume stuff, which I understand, but it's still kind of irksome, especially now that they've shown some of this stuff working.
Well, I mean, you had to look at it from this perspective. This is coming out when that early 2000 CGI, which I still think looks pretty good, though.
It's not that bad, but
it's noticeable.
It's definitely a little out of place.
X-Men Origins Wolverine has worse CGI, though, which is crazy because it came out 9 years later.
Yeah. I totally agree with what you were just saying, and I forgot what it was, but I was thinking I agree with you.
You'll never hear that again. Those claws are iconic, man.
Yeah.
That is an awkward pose, though.
It really is,
but it's cool. It just shows up the claws and like what I know as a kid, I used to believe I was Wolverine. He just carries.
Well, me too. Yeah.
Badass.
No, I would take 6 pencils and put them in between my fingers and walk around like Wolverine.
Yeah.
After I watched this movie, I remember.
Oh hell yeah! It was either as a kid you were either Wolverine or Cyclops. Every kid wanted to be Wolverine. Nobody wanted to be Cyclops. Because nobody likes Cyclops.
Because Scott Summers is a dick.
Yeah.
And he's like, when he's not a dick, he's bland. Like nobody really wants to be Cyclops.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, as Wolverine is the badass who doesn't give a shit about anything and says "fuck you," I'm doing what I want. I was convinced Wolverine was from Texas though, because of how he acts as a kid.
That's fair. Like, I find it interesting what they did with the origin stuff in this movie. Like, you know, obviously the Xavier School has been running for years, you know, that Cyclops and Jean Grey and them already teachers there. instead of going with like the and I understand they wanted to have Wolverine there right away, but as opposed to going with a you a know like team. A young team like an original X-Men team, mm-hmm. they went with hey this has been running for a while and now your entry point is going to be Rogue and Wolverine joining the team, and I thought that I you know now. Upon rewatching and knowing more about comics, I find it interesting that they decided to go with something like that instead of a legitimate origin story.
Yeah, well, we won't get an origin story to First Class, technically.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the origin of the X-Men, which is really odd when you look at it. It looks nothing like the comics one.
Yeah, the only origin we get in this movie is really Rogue's origin, and then I guess a little bit of some of the younger, like Bobby Drake and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was really and that's funny because Bobby Drake, Iceman is one of the original five.
Right, right, and it's one of those things that they, and I mean, a lot more now people get annoyed and people and even creators want to stick a lot more to what's in comics than this movie did. This movie really was. Hey, we're gonna do what we're doing. It's not going to be the comic book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is at the time I was trying to say this earlier, but I forgot about it. But when Grant Morrison was on the book, and the X-Men shifted from the bright colored costumes to more black leather, and I think, and I don't know which came first. I can't really remember, but I think either the movie saw that was doing that, or Morrison saw what the movie was doing, and it just sort of, you know, that first idea of like, well, let's mimic what the movies are doing, or let's mimic what the comics are doing. Because, like, I mean, Morrison took them out of the costumes, just gave them black leather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it could be that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, it's not that outlandish, and that's not a lot of people don't like his run. I like his run, but...
Right. And I remember now what I was agreeing with you about, that they definitely couldn't have done, you know, Wolverine's yellow spandex in this movie or really anybody's costume the way they were in the comics generally.
Not the way the movie is structured, the way it looks. It just
definitely.
It would look too weird.
I definitely agree. But I feel like now it's something that they can at least draw more hints to it, at least like have a cowl or something that they
that they're
not doing. Which again, it's I understand that now it's they've got this 15-year running universe of this movie now, which is I agree, mind-boggling that this universe of this movie has been running for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's the kind of thing that Marvel with the cinematic universe has shown that you can have a little bit more silly looking stuff. You know they made Captain America look much less silly than you'd imagine he'd look.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have some even Wolverine's like you know brown and
well. They actually for the Wolverine the one that came out a couple of years ago, not Origins. They actually had built a cowl like the brown the brown and red one. And it looked pretty. I thought it looked pretty cool, but I'm like, but I know they'll never do it because you know they want to see Hugh Jackman's face.
Right. That movie, by the way, also no good.
I'll say my thoughts on it when we record.
Special one. I understand you want to see Hugh Jackman's face, but you also want to see Chris Evans' face, and Chris Evans' face is much more marketable than Hugh Jackman's Wolverine face. Because the hair and beard already is enough. Is pretty much a mask compared to America's sweetheart looking Chris Evans.
True, but who doesn't want to be with Hugh Jackman though?
Well, sure, but like Wolverine is
great way of introducing his healing factor, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of just like, oh, he's like not again non comic readers like, oh no, he's dead. Wait, how is he getting up? And you know, we're gonna see that early 2000 CGI again, which compared to some movies like The Mummy Returns, it looks pretty good. It aged pretty well.
The healing factor, that is a little worse than I thought it would be. The healing factor though isn't actually that bad. I'm specifically remembering the one from X2, which. Man, when we watch it again, I'm going to be like, wow, that's really bad. But in my head, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, back in 2000, that was like, what? You know, I do love the heightened senses of how they zoom in on his face.
Yeah. The wire work is also not great in this movie.
Yeah, but again, this is like, you know.
No, you can say what you can, but like it's solid.
Yeah, no, I get it. And the class again, not naming the villain, but that is clearly Sabretooth.
Right.
Wolverine's long, way too long, and in some universes his own brother, and some universes his own son enemy.
And then he was replaced.
He's actually currently Sabretooth is a hero, is a good guy now, and because Wolverine is dead. Wolverine is dead.
I admit that the actor was replaced for Origins
Oh
and
yeah, with Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber, who's probably I don't remember who this is, like a wrestler, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a random wrestler guy. I don't even
Yeah,
know his
there's
name.
Liev Schreiber's like a real actor.
Yeah. You say that like you mean it.
No, he is. Liev Schreiber, like I don't again, he wasn't any good in Wolverine, but Liev Schreiber is a real actor.
Okay. And we actually this is our first introduction to two other X-Men, and that is Storm and Cyclops. I like that they went with these two because obviously coming off the cartoon, these two are going to be one of, outside of Wolverine, are going to be one of the more recognizable ones, you know. Cool way to show it. I do have a complaint though, and it's probably because again, it's the first of its time, especially after Batman, that they re Singer really doesn't use their powers a lot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about Razzie Award-winning actress
Halle
Halle
Berry.
Berry.
No, she'll get her just dues in Days of Futures Past. But he really doesn't like Magneto. He gives a showcase for Wolverine. He obviously gives a showcase for, but like for Scott, Storm a little bit, and especially Jean Grey, they don't get their just rewards in this movie. They do their one little tidbit and then they go away, which kind of sucks if you're a fan of those characters.
Yeah.
I love how he's wearing red. And I think controlling metal is possibly the coolest superpower you could have.
I think there's stuff they still could have done with Wolverine to invoke the his comics costume besides just the black leather
I
stuff,
agree.
like.
I just think it's a. I think ult that could they have? I think it's all about a stylistic choice they wanted to make, and they obviously wanted to make it more. Here we go again, quote unquote, realistic. So they went with the I mean, when we get to the end act of the movie, it'll make more sense, but like they're on a stealth mission and it having them going around like in the bright and the yellow and the blues kind like, and even though they're like it just makes more sense for them to be wearing black leather that could potentially hide them from certain adversaries. Like if you look at
Yeah,
it,
and
if you
it.
look in con like Captain America in his in Winter Soldier costume when he has to be in the stealth mission.
Right. No, and it makes sense for those specific, but like they don't do it in like
X.
they. It's not. That's definitely not necessary in X2 or
Or
X
X.
or X.
X3. X3 should have gone full
Probably
costume.
X3. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. X3 just should have gone full
Especially because
costume.
it was the third of the trilogy. Like
Yeah.
that's But whatever. Not
And
a huge deal.
these blue halls are pretty iconic. So much so that when I saw them again in Days of Futures Past, I went, ooh. Just because, like, this is what I like. Even though the comics are nothing like this, this is what I always think the bottom of the Xavier Institute looks like
Yeah,
now.
no, this is my vision of the X-Men always for everything.
Yeah,
This
it's
is how I see
this
X-Men.
sort of sterile blue hallways. It just looks cool.
And then here's the thing, is like it would make more sense if instead of having black leather everywhere in the halls, they had their costumes and then later they would, he'd be like, "Oh, why aren't you wearing those stupid things?"
Yeah.
And they'd be like, "Oh, 'cause it's the stealth mission or something like that."
Yeah,
But
no, I get it. Yeah.
like I don't know, because like, and it's just yeah, it's just it doesn't really make sense for those to. I mean, I guess it does make sense for those to be their costumes, but I don't know. Whatever.
It, yeah. It's nitpicky, and it's hindsight from 15 years of watching superhero movies evolve over time.
Well, I mean, it is now, but also it was a complaint then too.
Yeah,
Like people
true.
complained then, so it's not. I also like that he put on a shirt. Why'd you put on a hoodie? Like, what's the point?
Yeah. I like if he would have put the hoodie over himself, I can understand he's trying to be incognito, but he's completely not. But I think he's also startled because like, well, somebody's talking to my effing head. So what's going on? It's a very nice school, by the way.
Tyler Mane, by the way, is the name of the guy who played Sabretooth, who also played Michael Myers in the Halloween
I don't know
remake.
what his wrestling name is because
And Ajax. No, Tyler Mane is his wrestling name.
He's a nobody. No offense to the guy.
Nitron, Big Sky, the Skywalker, Sky High Walker.
Not ringing a bell.
Debut 1986, retired 1996.
He's got one more big role in this. Because he gets a decent amount of screen time in this movie.
Yeah.
That is cool. Little doorway like that. And that in the upper left-hand corner, well, it cut away now, but that is Jubilee, which is that's a cameo right there. That is pretty cool. And this
And
young
that's
lady,
Kitty Pryde,
yeah, that is
who
not
is
Ellen Page.
played by three different actresses in the first three movies.
Yes.
And then doesn't appear again until Day of the Future Past.
Yes. Which is a shame because Kitty Pryde's a great character.
Yeah.
Like it's like.
Well, the thing is, they did a lot of. Because, again, essentially, most of the X-Men movies are Wolverine movies.
Yeah, it should be
And.
called Wolverine and the X-Men, really.
Right. And which is what they called the cartoon.
Yes.
And they. But they did what they were going to do with Kitty with Rogue. So,
Yes.
you know, it just.
Maybe part of me thinks, well, maybe they just wanted to. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I think they chose Rogue just because she was the more
Look at
familiar name
that 2000 hair. Oh,
of Cyclops.
yeah. My brother had that haircut in the early 2000s. It's
And introducing the great love triangle of the of early X of Claremont and Byrne's X-Men, which is Wolverine, Jean Grey, and Cyclops, until Jean Grey bit the dust, I think almost 15 years ago as well, which is crazy to think about. I like how he's making fun of all their code names.
Yeah.
He's clearly like, this is fucking stupid.
It's also really interesting to hear, like, because his. He got way better at changing his accent than in this movie, but you can definitely hear a little bit of that Australian
A
accent
little,
now.
yeah, definitely.
Like, his Wolverine voice has really evolved since 2000.
Yes. And it shows, especially when he came back for the Wolverine a little bit more, and especially for Days of Future Past, which came out a year ago. And what I do like about what they've done with, at least in the first movie, what they did with his origin is that they did what the comics did, and that they didn't really tell you what happened about Wolverine. They obviously we do get a whole origin movie, which is the biggest mistake they both Marvel and Fox Studios made, which telling how Wolverine became who he became, because a huge part of
Which
it, a huge.
was already like it was already done when they did it in the comics.
Well, the comics only did it because they didn't want Fox to do it first.
Yeah.
Before that, Wolverine was always this enigma. I wish you got more training sequences like this. With the X-Men, no danger room though, which is a nitpicky thing. We don't get a
Yeah,
danger room
we do. I mean,
till
we got a
X3.
lot of, yeah, and we I mean, there's a lot of training sequence stuff in
First Class,
first class.
yeah, but like these are like the traditional. No offense to the First Class crew, but like these are the traditional X-Men. When I think of X-Men, no offense to Banshee, Angel,
Angel is
not
also an original X-Man.
well, Angel Salvatore, not
Right,
Angel
right, right, right.
Vigilante. I keep forgetting there's two Angels. And I think that's supposed to be Pyro, also played by a different actor, in the
Is
second
this supposed to
movie.
be Pyro?
Yeah, I mean Fireball, dude.
I guess,
Like,
yeah.
who else could it be? Also, Pyro in the comics is Australian. He's Australian, and he's not Australian in the movies. So, another little nerd tingling right there. I do like him as Bobby Drake, though.
Is one? Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, I was just saying, I really enjoyed. I can't think of his name, but I really liked him as Iceman.
Oh yeah, Sean Ashmore.
There you go.
Yeah. And his brother Aaron played Jimmy Olsen in
Superman Returns?
no, in Smallville.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Oh, the X-Jet or the Blackbird, depending on what universe you're talking about. Although, also, I understand if you're looking at this, how like underwhelming it is. Like it's not like all grand. Like nowadays it'd be like there'd be a huge score, the camera would be overlooking, and here it's just like, oh, here's the Blackbird, and you kind of look
Yeah.
under it, and then it just pans away,
Which I like actually. It's a lot more understated. I do like by the way that retconned line right there. He said he was 17 when we met Eric Lencher, which that's definitely not how old he is in first class.
No, again, and a lot of people like to nitpick that. Well, it's like, well, they had no idea. Like I think
No,
the
no, no.
watches, they didn't.
I don't care.
No,
It's
not you,
just
but like the people who are
yeah.
like, "Well, that's not how it happened." I'm like, "Well, they're I mean, and spoilers to Days of Future Past, they kind of rewrite history. So, technically these movies are no longer in continuity depending on what you believe. because of what happens with Days of Futures Past. But that's all subjective, though.
Yeah.
And Senator Kelly is a character from the comics, though. He is a notorious villain. Obviously, sticking with Marvel, sort of like making the villains seem more believable and more realistic. In some of the, like, General Ross, the enemy of the Hulk, obviously, and can't, who doesn't hate a United States senator nowadays? You know?
Yeah. Well, none of that entire crowd. It's really interesting actually, because the comics were a lot of civil rights stuff, but like the movies and the comics nowadays are very very much gay rights.
Yes. Well, it's that's just because the time we are in now.
Oh yeah, no, of course, and also like the director Bryan Singer.
Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting. Yeah, he is a he is a hom he is gay.
You had trouble saying that.
Well, like
Moving
it's
on.
either homosexual or gay, and I'm just gonna say because I know some people don't like saying hearing word gay, and some people prefer homosexual. So.
Yeah. But yeah. So they there's a lot of that stuff in here, especially like when he gets injected with the thing and when we get to X3,
The
the
cure.
cure stuff. So it is there's a lot of stuff that you
It's a lot more
take
about,
notice.
yeah, well, I mean, and it's fitting for the time, considering what's going on versus
Yeah.
like, but I mean, still, like, if you wanted to compare it to the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, you still can,
Sure,
they're
sure.
fighting for their rights and their fear and their danger because of what their DNA says they are, and they're being judged prematurely. And there's a select group of mutants who are not helping in that case.
Right.
By the way, that is Rebecca Romijn Stamos at this time period,
That's the time, yeah.
and she is literally wearing nothing in that. She l is literally naked, and that is just I don't I think it's like a 10-hour, from what I remember reading, it's like a 10-hour job to paint her
Well,
fully.
there's, I mean, technically three actresses have played Mystique, and the only one that wasn't naked for the role was the child who wore the
Which
bodysuit.
Thank goodness.
Because that's,
That
yeah,
would
that
be
will be,
creep.
but
That would
yeah,
be really creepy.
Jennifer Lawrence, who plays the role in the newer movies, also has to go through a similar 10-hour makeup
You
process.
would think they would figure out how to simplify that by now, but I guess
I don't
not.
know. I mean,
It looks
it's.
cool. Like the thing is about Mystique.
I don't know how much that kind of movie makeup stuff has changed in the last 60
Yeah.
years. You know, I'm sure they've already gotten it done.
If you're a makeup person who works in Hollywood, let us know.
Because it's not even necessarily movie. Like that stuff has been done since, old plays of the of forever ago. So.
I don't know. I do like how they jazzed up Mystique's, granted the not nakedness, but the whole adding like the lines and the bumps and making her look more exotic versus in the comics, she's just drawn as a blue woman,
Right.
with like the weird sort of white dress, not dress thing. But here she looks more exotic, like a mutant, like she
Right.
could stick out.
And that's another thing that's brought up here is who can and can't hide their mutations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lot of allegory. I mean, if you can sum up the X-Men in one word, it's allegory. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or drama, depending on what kind of story you're talking about. Can deject your body full of metal. 'Cause that sounds cool, right? I'm gonna do it willingly.
I like what they do with Mystique's hair too. It's just sort of like a slicked back. Again, just looks alien.
Yeah.
Even though she's not
And
an alien, she's a mutant, but like it
yeah.
looks different than like again in the comics. She just sort of has short hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it just shows you what you can do with makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also like Ray Park is Toad. Despite that he doesn't really get a lot of stuff to do, I do like his little mannerisms. He acts like a toad. He shifts. He quirks his head a little bit. He's always crouching. Like he's ready to the jump position. It's subtle things that you don't notice as a kid, but when you're older, like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, Ray Park, who you may or may not recognize as the body, not voice of Darth Maul.
Yeah, which this movie actually does a great nod to. Are you aware of that?
I don't remember it
I'll
now.
point it out. You'll recognize it when you see it. It's not like that was one of the first things my dad like, hey, watch this. My dad was like, hey, watch this, and he does the move, and it's like, oh, that's cool. You know, because I
Terry
think,
Movie and Nod, those movies came out like a year apart.
Yeah, exactly. Because like Star Wars Phantom Menace came out in 99, this came out literally a year later, Memorial Day 2000, so wouldn't be surprised. And this is the big plot of the movie, really. Magneto spouting exposition. I could literally listen to Ian McKellen talk all day, you know.
You shall not pass.
We will be doing Lord of the Rings commentary one day, folks, but those movies are so long.
Oh man,
We're not doing the extended cuts. Fuck that.
because we a little bit of inside baseball. We try to do like two of these in a night when we can. Lord of the Rings, not gonna happen.
No, we. I even told. Obviously, Dragon's not here, but I told him like, look, we'll do those one because one will drain us. Because there's
We'll do those. You don't have to do those one in a week.
yeah,
Like.
just because even the theatrical releases are so long, and I love them, but like they're long movies. But I still love them though. This is the but like this is this little scientific mechanism is the plot of the movie as Magneto seeks to change everybody into mutants to be like his brothers,
Right.
brothers, which is interesting because they're not adapting anything. It's an original story. There's elements of things from the comics, but nothing like this right here is I don't believe is a thing from the comics. At least I'm not aware.
I don't, like, yeah, not as far as I know. Like, obviously, like, the mutant registration stuff, that's interesting. That's a huge comic storyline.
Yes, that was a huge thing in the 80s, right around Days of Future's Past time when that series was coming out, but no, but th that this little whole mechanism is a thing made up in the movie. That is a nice 2000 bedroom, by the way. Do you think they put Jean Grey in? I think sometimes they put her in too much red. Like it's just a little obnoxious.
Maybe.
Like looking back at it, not so much the next two because she's pretty much unconscious for most of that movie. But like as like with X3 definitely, like I feel like they're overemphasizing her redness.
I'm sure there's something about color theory in there. I just don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something you notice. It's like she sticks out because of what she's wearing and her hair color. I do. The thing is that again, because Wolverine takes center spot and so does Rogue, Jean really doesn't get the characterization she deserves, as she should. And I would think she would, considering she's the one who Logan's after, you know? And she secretly loves Logan, she'll just never admit it. Oh, look, flashbacks. These freaked me out as a kid, or at least those little shots right there.
Nothing actually freaked me out as much as a kid as in Spider-Man when like that quick flashback and that always terrified me. That and then going right, like it goes from flashback back to Willem Dafoe's face.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking
Terrifying.
about. Yeah, we'll have to bring you on when we eventually do Spider-Man, all five of them, I guess. Four.
Or yeah, well, or depending, I mean, if it's years down the road, I might end up being six.
Well, we'll get them done way before the new one comes out.
When's the new one come out? Like in a year or two, right?
I have no idea. They haven't even cast a guy. But this is sort of setting up the rivalry between the two. And it sucks because there is no interplay with these two for the rest of the next after this at all. Because Scott is literally unconscious for the X2. Scott is killed off in X3. Of course, not a thing. Well, he is a thing in the War Origins, but we don't like to acknowledge that. He doesn't exist. His brother does is in First Class. And of course, he's alive, but in Days of Future Past, but it doesn't matter at that point.
And apparently showing up in Apocalypse.
Yes. Well, younger versions of the characters, which I
Right.
like. I do like that Wolverine, they gave Wolverine night terrors that he still suffers from. You know, I mean, it's such a traumatic event, who wouldn't?
They seem to be going back. They go back as well a lot. Like this happens in the Wolverine too, the one that came out a couple years ago
Yeah.
with Jean and stuff like that. And this, yeah, they do a lot with Logan's dreams, which I think
Well,
is.
the thing about Wolverine is that, like, especially when now that it's all revealed, like, he's had a fucked up life.
Oh no, of course,
You
yeah.
know,
But
like,
like
he's a
they
tragic
do a
character.
lot with his dreams, which just seems like
Kind
they
of.
keep going back to that well. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, all right, we get it. We get it. We understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I did, and I'll say it again when we record the Wolverine, but I really liked how they actually incorporated Jean into her. Jean, the dreams into like seamless versus like actual flashbacks. Like it wasn't necessarily Like you felt it was part of the same scene versus you were cutting away to something else. This is why you don't try to wake Wolverine up, because he will stab you no matter who you
Stab
are.
with a fucking chest.
Yeah. And this is why you could, this is why Rogue can never have a proper boyfriend because of this.
Right. Does Rogue already know what her power is, or is this where she learns?
I think she knows she can kill people by touching, but I think this is where she gets the idea that she can sap powers.
Okay.
Which I'm gonna give you a little Rogue trivia. She once sucked an entire nation's mind into her mind, like a whole nation island of people, all of their consciousness into her mind, and it nearly went her crazy. So yeah, there's a little Rogue trivia for you. I know too much about the X-Men.
I feel like I remember this.
It was like around 2006, 2005 when that happened.
I thought I read it. I feel like I remember hearing about this or something.
Yeah, she's better now though. She got better. They all do.
Got better.
By the way, this is very slow paced. Not a lot of action. Like we got that one bit scene at the beginning where the X-Men rescue Wolverine and Rogue, but it's a lot of exposition and a lot of slowness. And I imagine like if you're a kid now and you watch, say, Iron Man and you go back and watch this one, like I wouldn't be surprised if you're bored a little bit.
Not as slow as Dark Knight Rises.
No. No.
Nothing's as, because this movie's half as long.
Yes. This movie has better pacing. Definitely. I never understood, I always tried to figure out who he was, who what they were trying to do with this, but I never got it.
Yeah, it was weird. Because like,
This
does he? Does he have a power? Can he actually? Like, what does he? Or does he just die? Like, what's? I'm very confused.
I think because I think they explained it in the movie, but like I always thought they were trying to like replicate something from the comics, but I think like the machine that
Bad
they,
CG, though.
yeah.
Sorry.
No, I get it. I get it.
That was the worst.
Interesting how imperialistic or how very Nazi-est Magneto's costume is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the great irony of Magneto is that he grew up tormented by a group of people, oppressed because of who he was as a Jewish parent, as a Jewish, as a member of the Jewish faith, and yet he grows up to become this mad power super mutant who threatens. I mean, granted, he's not completely in the wrong because of humanity wants to kill his people, just like the Nazis did. But he's also basically doing what the Nazi he wants in some cases he wants to do what the Nazis did to humans. In fact, in Grant Morrison's run, he actually had ovens built and was going to march humans into ovens, which again that was retconned to not being Magneto, so who knows. But if you're reading that comic by itself, you that's Magneto as far as
By
you're
the way,
aware.
the lighting and shot composition in that scene looked very Joel Schumacher to me.
Does it?
Like,
Oh.
it very much reminded me of Batman and
Oh.
Robin. And I'm like, huh,
That's a little odd.
that's weird. Sabretooth is such a non-factor in this movie. Like, he's
No.
just a henchman.
Yeah, pretty much. He has no depth. He's just there as a
The
muscle.
whole Brotherhood, really. Like, it's basically like you get Magneto, and even Mystique is kind of just a henchman.
Yeah.
She gets fleshed out a lot more in X2,
And
but
definitely in future movies she does, but yeah. No,
well,
I agree.
very much in First Class, of course, but.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean they give her a connection to Charles more so.
Yeah.
Old pasty white dude shows up on the beach naked. What do you do?
Stare at him.
And not call the cops 'cause
Like Stan Lee.
yep. Oh there I've never noticed that. Holy crap.
You didn't notice Stan Lee in this
No. I
scene?
kept thinking, where the fuck is he? I
Yeah.
found Waldo. There you go. That is such an odd place to put him.
Well, if this was, I mean, this was probably, this is what, the first Stan Lee cameo?
I guess.
So
I don't really remember his X-Men cameos, to be honest with you.
it's a little different now, but I think
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think this is the first of the Marvel movie Stan Lee cameos, so
Yeah.
it's
I know he's in X3 because he's more his X-Men cameo in X3 is much more prominent, and so is Chris Claremont actually. But I don't know who's X2 cameo if he even has a cameo in X2.
I don't think he does. Wikipedia's not showing one.
Probably doesn't. We'll have to look for that when we record that one. This little scene really cat. I mean, and also the X-Men supposed to be up at puberty and sort of Rogue's going through changes with her body and she doesn't understand. A la puberty. The X-Men just touch on so many different metaphors in life. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bobby Drake is a dick apparently, for no reason. Is he a teenage boy? I don't know. Although I don't like her gloves though. Like I don't like that she has long sleeves. I kind of just wish she had just like gloves.
Yeah.
I like that. It's just like a really subtle thing that the eyes change. And that's like, oh, that was Mystique. I get it. I see what you're doing, Mr. Singer. I see what you're doing. Cyclops has dumb glasses. I said it.
He's got a dumb smile and a dumb face too.
Well, I mean, the thing is, James Marsden's not a bad actor, and I think he actually looks like Scott Summers a lot. But they don't give him anything to work with.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, generic leader guy. Oh, look, it's the X-Men. What do you know? The only thing missing from this team is really Colossus, Sunfire, Thunderbird, and you would have had the X-Men that people below in love.
Like you said, Sunfire and Thunderbird, I'm like, who are those people?
I never read that. That's the X-Men I grew up with, was Giant Size yeah. X-Men. That was the book that sort of made X-Men X-Men.
Like Angel, and Beast, who show up in X3, I recognize, and Jubilee and Gambit, mm-hmm. who don't show up in these movies at all.
No, they don't exist.
I recognize.
I want to ask you this. What do you think of Cerebro in this room?
Pretty much all of the set design, at least as far as I remember and as far as we've seen so far, mm-hmm. I have liked.
Okay. And if in the comics and definitely in the cartoons, this is like Cerebro looked nothing like this. And
yeah.
if you look at a comic post this movie, anything with involving the Danger Room, not the Danger Room, Cerebro, it's this spherical look.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like the visual representation of it.
I don't know there needed to be such a big room.
Well, he's got to see everything. I mean, it looks cool.
Well, yeah, but like you can see everything in his mind's eye, and then you can see they're making the room like even bigger in his head.
Yeah.
But like it's sort of like this is kind of pointless. Like you're using a lot of space for this room that you don't necessarily need to be using.
Yeah.
But I really like how he uses Cerebro too. I think that's really cool.
I like how versus in this movie versus, and this is like First Class replicates this too. But like in X2, I don't know if they use it in X3, but in X2, he sort of just sees them as flashes of light, which is what the comics do. But I really like how he like goes through the like narrows it down and sees a fog and then the color and whoever's a mutant
Does he use Cerebro in X2 besides
no,
the fake Cerebro?
No, because he's he only uses fake Cerebro because he's kidnapped most of the movie.
Why
is that a theme in X2? I guess we'll ask that when we do X2.
We're probably going to watch X2 and be like, huh, that's probably less of a theme than we thought it was.
Probably. And the X-Men are mobilizing, which is pretty cool.
This plot does move pretty fast. Like, the actors in there fast, but the plot does move pretty
yes.
fast.
There's Cyclops. We got, and very quick, but you got a sneak peek at Cyclops' dumb visor. Which is, like, I'm sorry. I'm going to pick on Cyclops in this movie.
Better than his dumb mask.
Which mask are you talking about? The Jim Lee one or the John Byrne one or the new the Skull Cap?
Yes.
One? Which one?
All of them.
All of them. You don't like Cyclops?
They're mask. All pretty dumb.
I have a partial warm to the Jim Lee design, despite how stupid it is.
The current one is idiotic.
Oh yeah, the Racer X looking one. Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And
all the cowls are pretty dumb.
Yeah. He should just have, like, the visor. Which is why I like the Jim Lee. Like, you can see his hair. Like, he has the under, like, on the blue sides, which doesn't make any sense. You remove those, you get a perfectly fine costume. Despite that the over, a lot of belts and pouches on him. But that was the thing, kids. The 90s were weird. The early 90s
Jim
were weird.
Jim Lee!
Belts and pouches everywhere. I do like the chemistry. Not romantic chemistry, but just, like, the chemistry between Hugh and Anna Marie here.
The very Wolverine and young girl chemistry.
Which is surprisingly not creepy at all. Like, you could easily make that creepy in the wrong writer's hands,
Yeah, but that's just kind of his thing, and like.
Like he just mentors them. Like ever since Kitty Pryde showed up, he's like, I'm gonna like he it just kinda happens.
There was a joke made in a post-Death of Wolverine costume that is like his secondary mutation. Is mentoring young girls.
Yeah, which is it's just like, crazy. And like, there's Rogue, there's Kitty Pryde, there's Armor from the Astonishing X-Men run, there is a whole bunch of new ones that I don't the recent ones I haven't cared about, but like a lot of them have a personal connection with Wolverine, which is make adds more depth to his character that like this feral savage has managed to give these young women confidence.
Well, also because he's been Professor Wolverine for a while, which is
A thing.
a thing.
That's like some that with Spider-Man with like, wait a minute, you were in a school and they let you? So what is this nonsense? What is this shit? What is I call
Well,
shenanigans.
it's so weird because he's like he was like because for a while he was part of like two Avengers teams and like three X-Men teams, and he was running a school. And it's like that doesn't nobody has that much time. They're like, I guess he doesn't sleep.
Yeah, well, I mean, he probably doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't need to sleep if he doesn't want to, but like it's just like okay, like that's Wolverine's doing a lot of things, Marvel. Like,
Yeah. I mean not anymore. He's dead.
right, now he's
And
dead.
he's never coming back. Never.
Never ever.
Mm-mm, he's gone.
Just like Barry Allen.
I do like how he's kind of awkward with this. Like, dude, what am I supposed to do? Okay, I guess I'm gonna do this now. I'm going to. Like, it just shows how comfortable he is with showing his emotions, at least at this point in his life. But he also understands what it means to be tormented and what's the word I'm looking for? Be tormented and be fucked up because of your powers and what's happened to you and how and like things are out of your control. Wolverine is oddly a very comforting person despite of who he is as a personality.
Right.
I don't like Rogue's hood. There, I said it.
Give these geeks one more shot.
By the way, if the train's moving, how are they supposed to get off? I mean, she's supposed to go home, right? I guess they're gonna take the train back.
They can just
That's
turn
not.
around.
This is, I guess.
Why is he wearing the
I
visor?
don't know. I don't know.
He's out in public.
By the way,
Why is he?
that mom is a mutant phobe. Or like, well, I then again, dude in the baseball cap with a visor.
I'm just saying, if you saw that dude and you had kids,
I would walk away. Like, let's
you would
go.
be
Let's
like,
go.
nope, sorry kids, we are not looking at this weird dude.
Yeah. But nobody pauses at Sabretooth. Nobody. And this is the first real big action sequence we get, which at the time was huge.
Well,
God,
and
that early.
here's the thing too, is like if the visor's gonna break in this scene anyway, then
By
why
now.
isn't he just wearing the sunglasses?
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's incognito, it's like, I guess they wanted to show off the visor, but if not, why not just save it for the final scene? You know, for the
Yeah.
final, it doesn't make sense.
Like it makes sense if he's gonna be using the visor in that scene, but if the visor's gonna break anyway, then you're just introducing the visor for no reason. It's Chekhov's gun. You
Yeah.
introduce you need if you're gonna introduce the visor, it has to do something
Yeah, exactly.
and not just break in the next scene.
I do like Storm gets a little moment, like, right there.
Oh, by the way, I never finished my thought when they introduced Ray Park, but the voice of Darth Maul was Peter Serafinowicz, who you might remember as the head of the Nova Corps, not John T. Reilly, the other
Oh,
head of the Nova
really? I
Corps
did not know.
in Guardians of the Galaxy,
Did
the
not know
British
that.
guy. Not Glenn Close either, but yeah.
The dick?
Yeah, the dick.
The dick. Not John C. Reilly, but the British dick. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this introduction of Magneto in costume. Because this is kind of really the first time we see him in costume.
Yeah.
Which is, when you think about it, it's really long. What do you think about this helmet design?
It's a little small, like it's a little tight on his head, and it's kind of hard to not make it look ridiculous,
Yeah.
but I think they did the best they could. And
I wish I would.
I mean, it looks a lot better actually in the newer movies.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they either figured something out or it was just the shape of Michael Fassbender's head compared to the shape of Ian McKellen's head.
Yeah. It's probably
But
it could be an element of both.
yeah.
And this is sort of like the movie's like, we're after Wolverine. No, we're not. We're after her. It's the girl we want. Plot twist, as M. Night Shyamalan would say.
Except not really.
Ow.
Because like Xavier said the same thing. It's probably not Wolverine thereafter.
Yeah. But who pays attention during movies?
Certainly not us. We talked during the whole thing.
True. Again, I just love his cape, but I wish his there was more color to his outfit. I mean, you can see the red underneath it, but like it does look
I mean,
great.
it's sort of a theme of this movie that it's that they're not using a lot of color.
Yeah, but it's not like Man of Steel saturated. That
But
shit.
here's the other thing is like why does he have the helmet on? Because
Well, I mean, because Charles Xavier can't get in his mind. I mean
but
that.
Charles Xavier's not there.
Well, just in case. It's
Yeah.
all it's like, better to have it and better to have it and need it than need it and not have it. It's probably just one of those things. Plus, also probably trademark. He probably has a trademark at the US trademark office. Like, come on.
Can you trademark something that somebody else invented?
I don't know. Well, maybe he can just lie and say I invented it. I mean, but
True.
at this point, I can't remember his character's name, but Kevin Bacon's dead at this point.
Kevin Bacon. Yeah. I don't remember his character's name. It's Kevin Bacon.
I know because he's a very famous X-Men villain. But I, Sebastian
Sebastian
Shaw,
Shaw.
yeah, Hellfire Club leader.
Also, by the way, the name of the actor who played Darth Vader in Empire Strikes. Sorry, not in Empire Strikes Back.
And now we
In
are
Return of the
playing
Jedi.
6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Well, Sebastian, that was just the name of the character. It
Yeah.
wasn't actually the name of the actor, rather.
By the way, that like even as a kid, I always thought that whole idea of, like you can't read my mind, Charles, through the helmet was kind of stupid. I'm like, really? You can't even slip into the cracks, I guess? Okay. Whatever.
Sabretooth's eyes are really weird.
They like he has like very he has white pupils. Or
Yeah.
I mean, it's I those have to be contacts.
Of course.
It kind of gives him like a you ever see Heroes? Heroes season 2. There was a girl who had like a weird ability, like her eyes would go black. And
Yeah.
it kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
I love this scene right here, showing off Magneto's power, the master of magnetism, and just how powerful he is. In a very again, in retrospect, this was cool. Like this is like, oh, look how powerful he is, and compared to what he does in later movies. But the dude can hold up cars, hold shotguns to multiple people, and then also control simultaneously control a bullet that could slowly dropped in on the man. One thing that interesting is that the score is really subdued in this movie.
Yeah, it's true. And then
Like
we haven't really noticed it much.
It's serviceable, but I noticed the score is a lot more prominent X2 onward.
I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's that the score is in service of the movie that
Yeah.
you don't, it doesn't need to be prominent to be like,
Yeah.
this is happening, like bum 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 bum.
Not everything needs to be
Punctuated by
yes.
a drum beat or a boom.
Horns blaring. No, I get it. But like I like as a film score nut that I am, like I notice stuff like that, Like but it's all about choice. Like it's ambient, it works, but like X2, there's a noticeable theme to everything in terms of the score. Why is he wearing two jackets? Look at that, he's wearing two jackets.
Cold outside.
I guess.
He's Canadian. It's cold in Canada.
True. But two ja I mean
I wear two jackets all the time.
that's weird.
I wear a hoodie and then over that I wear a leather jacket.
That's because I live in Texas. I don't have that
Yeah.
convention of cold.
Yeah, what is the cold?
What is cold? It's 50 degrees is cold, mate. Although he does, I mean, like he's has a healing factor. He doesn't need to worry about cold, I guess. I
I
don't get
don't
that.
know. It depends on the healing. I don't know how the healing factor necessarily works. It depends on the writer.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, hey, you're here. How'd you get here? How did you find this place? Plot convenience, baby. Plot convenience. Seriously, how the
Hello.
hell did he get all the way over there without dying?
It's New York.
Like he was on a beach though. We don't even know where
A
Magneto's
beach in
base
New
was,
York.
I guess. But they're in, but like Westchester's like in upstate New York though. He had to walk a long fucking way.
I feel like All I'm saying is I feel like this plot inconvenience makes far more sense than
than
how did
that.
Bruce Wayne show up in The Dark Knight Rises? And I'm only harping on that because that's the last one that we did, that
Yeah.
I did with you guys.
Yes.
So
No, I get it. I get it.
that is far more like, wait, what?
Yeah. How the fuck did you get here?
Your back was broken, bro.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, as a kid, and I'm just marking this now, but again, going back to the 90s series, I was a little disappointed I didn't give Professor Xavier his big yellow floating chair. Like, I was kind of wanting to see that.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid,
That's
but
kind of ridiculous.
yeah, but like, and it makes more, I do like his wheelchair. When I had my I broke my ankle when I was a young kid, right, like a couple years before this, and and then I saw the movie, and I was like, I want a wheelchair like that. Why didn't I have a wheelchair like that? It's the only time probably Patrick Stewart during the entire movie where he doesn't have to sit down for an entire scene.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, say what you want. Sitting down all the time, sitting all the time, and then when you stand up, your legs are gonna hurt from weariness.
Well, I'm sure he got to stand up between takes.
True, but or maybe he.
Most actors sit down between takes. He's like, I need to stand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting.
Well, I mean, he is old. Maybe he just likes sitting down. Who knows?
I mean, he also sat a lot during Star Trek, so think he's tired of sitting at this point.
True. You think it would have been a little too much fan service if he said, "Make it so"?
Probably. They probably
Yeah.
were not going to have him say, "Make it so" in this
Yeah.
movie.
Could they have been sued for that? I don't even know.
No, of course not. It's just a line.
Why is
Plenty of
he?
actors doing plenty of
Yeah,
things.
true. I don't see why people complain about him, the fact that Professor X is British. Like, it just, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because of his smarts and just where he's from. Just, yeah.
Because the character is American. Like,
Is.
he's from New York.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just because you're from. I mean, he could be from New York, but he could have British parents, and he just grew up in a British background. But I mean, but they made him from England with future class, with first class. Like, he's
Right.
from England,
Yeah.
of the United Kingdom, right?
But like in the, yeah, in the comics he is not.
No. But, you know, nobody, like, Xavier's also dead, so, and he's never coming back. This is the most character development Storm gets in the three, in the four movies, if you can call it that. And the thing is, Storm is like a really great character in the comics, and it's really disappointing when you see what Storm is in the movies, especially in X3. And how terrible. I mean, it didn't help that she had a terrible script to work with, but it's more evident on how weak she is as a actress for this for these movies, which is a shame because she's a
It's not
good
necessarily
actor.
that bad either. It's just, I don't know.
Well, it's the material given to her, and you know, they kind of give her some redemption in Futures Past, but not much. Especially when, you know, she's killed, and the fucking the theater I watched that cheered when she died, which says a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is kind of disturbing, by the way.
And now he's Hydro Man.
That's who I thought he was. I'm gonna run away.
He's like, I suppose we got one supposed to be afraid of as he melts into water. He's like, nope,
Nope.
definitely still afraid of you, bud.
Yep.
She got a few really stupid bad lines in this movie.
Yeah. Damn, Scott, way to lay it on thick. Scott does not like Wolverine. Maybe because he's trying to steal his woman.
Generally, San Francisco Franco is still dead.
Uh-oh. Here comes the plot point. That is an odd design look for the helmet, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
Like
I guess.
it doesn't like it's just like I don't know. This looks a little odd. And now you
Look
basically
at that.
take,
Look at that chest hair.
yeah. And now you incapacitate the biggest gun for the X-Men, at least at this point. Yeah, we're gearing up to the final act. Doesn't really feel like it. And magically reversed. Somehow. Because that's how science works, baby.
Cares about science when you got that ass.
I love Famke Janssen. I'm pretty sure I developed a crush on her after this movie. She was actually in a movie with Jon Favreau, actually, of Iron Man fame.
Of speech writing for President Obama fame.
Who, Jon Favreau?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. Cyclops, just wait. If you didn't kill the professor, I would say take off those dumb glasses, please. Why couldn't they just give him like normal glasses with just like red tints?
Yeah, they could have just given them regular. I think the thing is, in 2000, those were normal
I
sunglasses.
don't wear. I have a vague remember what 2000s was, but those are, at least they're not like the stupid shades that people wear today. Like the shades people some people wear today just look so stupid. Although I will say this, his shades in X-Men Days of Future Past are even worse than this, because they just look like sci-fi for no fucking reason.
Think you just don't like Cyclops.
No, I don't. If Dragon was here, he would be fighting me, and I know he'd love Cyclops. I know for a fact he'd
Who
love
loves
Cyclops.
Cyclops? That's
He
weird.
does. He does.
That's a weird
I know, right?
opinion.
High
Nobody
five.
loves Cyclops.
Hello, mate. Hello. Uh-oh. Very sub. This is on Liberty Island, right? Of ever been, have you ever been there?
No.
I wasn't her to go. Oh, look, she knew all the time. No, that's. I don't even know which island they are. There's fucking so many islands in New York. It's a mini island.
The whole thing's an island.
Yeah. I know Liberty Island is. Also, interesting, this movie, like, despite that New York's the backdrop, New York's not really, like, the heart of it, you know? Versus, like,
Yeah,
the.
I mean, it's not like some other. New York isn't really as important in something like this as it is in something like, Spider-Man
Yeah.
or.
Well, even the Fantastic Four, like a lot of their stuff, at least the first half of the movie, in X-Men and FF1, and not so much in FF2, but like there's a lot of New York. And even in, like Daredevil obviously had New York, but like
Right.
I
Well,
know.
we'll see what it's like in Fantastic.
I just call it F4. I refuse to call it Fantastic Four. Oh, look, Magneto spouting out his irony, but still doesn't see his own hate. How old is he supposed to be at this point? Because if he was what? He had to be what, like 12, 15? 12 to 15 years old when he was taken by the
Maybe
Nazis?
younger, maybe. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because, like, I'm not even trying to figure time. I'm just talking about how, like, how old he's supposed to be at this point.
Yeah. Well, I guess 60 years, so he'd be in his probably his
60, no.
late 60s,
Probably.
early 70s.
Yeah.
How old is Sir Ian McKellen?
I have no idea. He's got to be in his 80s, probably. He's pretty old. Which astounds me that he made the Hobbit trilogy.
75.
He's only 75.
Yeah.
Huh. He
Which
look,
is still old.
no offense, he looks really old. But he's still a great actor, though. Oh, hey, look, I'm here. Boo. I'm glad that he doesn't, like, again, Singer doesn't have him play the maniacal. Like, he obviously is the villain with, like, the maniacal plan, but he doesn't act like it. He acts like what I'm doing is right. Like, which is what the great villains are.
It still feels like a very subdued version of a Batman villain, though.
A little bit, but I still think you can, because of that opening scene and what you've seen him, what you see, how people, certain people see him, you can see his perspective, though. He's not just a generic, like,
Yeah.
bwahaha. He has more depth. By the way, Twin Towers in that thing, which is very uncomfortable to see. In one of the stethographs, which, and I, when it, I'll go ahead and say this now, but like I remember, Spider-Man was supposed to be pulled from theaters because there was a shot that showed, I think it was like after Uncle Ben had died, and there was a shot of Peter crying, shock, and the Twin Towers were in the
That's a lot of
background.
crying. Yeah, they did. I mean, I know they had a trailer that was pulled because of that.
Yeah. By the way, the very famous yellow spandex that made a whole bunch of fanboys get their panties in a notch and get mad for no reason.
Yeah, there was like, oh, that was a...
That was a deliberate jab at what was before.
Well, yeah. It wasn't even a jab. It was like a, hey, we're not doing this,
yeah.
But let's at least call. I figured it's the opposite. Like
it was a jab, though. Like,
yeah, I think it was intended to be like a nod to, hey, we know we're not doing this,
mm-hmm.
so we're going to mention it.
I do love the X-Jet, or the Blackbird, as I'm going to call it. I do love it as a plane. They have their own plane that comes out of the basketball courts. That's just ridiculously cool. Also, I know some people hated how Wolverine's claws came out through his knuckles versus, like, on the top. Like, in the comics, it comes out on top of his wrist, like, on the, like, but not through the knuckle. I don't know how to explain it. If you see it visually represented.
Yeah, and I think they actually changed it a little bit, too, in the later movies.
Mm-hmm. Versus here, it clearly comes out through the between the fingers.
Right.
Which is, like, you know. Storm used fog. It was super effective. I knew I was gonna get a Pokemon reference in here somewhere.
You could have said Storm used thunder earlier.
I could have, but thunder, well, thunder is not always accurate, and that move actually hit. So, if I would have said thunderbolt, it would have been much more appropriate.
Lightning bolt.
Yeah. You guys hear something? Nah. We're good. Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed the giant plane. You think you would have heard something. Like, I know, like, it's stealth and all, but those things make sounds.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like...
Side characters are not very smart in these movies. No. Unnamed characters, they're usually pretty dumb.
Yes. Did you hear that, Fred? Nah.
Hear what? You're just hearing things, man. Probably just the wind.
Yeah. From what I remember
hearing... It was Freddy Krueger the whole time.
Yeah. From what I remember hearing about Hugh Jackman, there's like, apparently these suits were so tight, like, it was tough to lift it. Like, it was even tough for them to, like do that little, like, where they had got off the boat and jumped on. Not jumped, but walked up that little ledge right there. Like, it was even tough to move in that. That's how tight those leather costumes were.
Right.
And here we are, the first official scene with the X-Men in costume. What I will say is that I do like this little comedy bit right here, which was my signature get the fuck out of my face suggestion for years.
Yeah.
But like, if you look at like Wolverine's costume, the lines are yellow, and same with like
right.
Like I don't know what it is, but like that was cool to me. Like, oh, there's like a little bit of like you could tell who they are based on the lines in there right there.
Yeah, it's
like, I don't know. I always like that little touch. Like, you can clearly see the yellow for Cyclops. You see, I guess, red,
blue.
I can't even. It's hard to tell. Fuck Cyclops. Nobody cares about him. Hey, look.
I don't see anything in his.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. How could they get such a skin tight suit for Wolverine when they only knew him for like 3 days?
Yeah. It's a mirror match. You think he would have just shot because he hates Wolverine to begin with and wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But I guess he was too worried about the mission being in jeopardy.
Again, and besides that, they get towed anyway.
Yeah. And they get and this is a little bit of a fuck you to the X-Men because they get their asses kicked by Toad.
Yo, Toad's awesome.
No, but it's Toad. It's Toad. Like, Toad's a joke. Like, no, like,
I'm in a surprise.
I guess. Again, I like his mannerisms. I really like not that. That's just really stupid. But just like how he carries himself. She does nothing. Like, that always bothered me. Like, she's supposed to be like this trained telepath, personally trained by Charles Xavier, and she does nothing.
Yep.
It's just like, it doesn't make sense. Like, little things like that. Like, why didn't you just at least throw him across? Okay, see, now it's just embarrassing. There's no reason they should be losing the Toad. Oh, here it is. This is the shot I was talking about. Right here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, the little thing. Subtle, works, but Does the job.
I don't even know if that was a reference or just like, I'm Ray Park and I can do these things, so I'll just do this.
I mean, it could be that, but just because like Darth Maul did the same similar sort of stance, it just reminded me of that.
Well, but Darth Maul did the same stance because it was Ray Park.
Yeah, well,
like,
that's
just what the actor did.
Yeah. I did like that little morphing sequence from Wolverine to Mystique. I still think it looks pretty cool. And I do like the fight choreography for this.
I can imagine how, yeah. I can imagine how hard it was to do some of those earlier, like, Wolverine versus Wolverine shots.
Yeah.
In fight choreography, because, like...
Well, it's a stunt double with probably a Hugh Jackman mask on.
Right, but then you also have to have a couple of shots of showing them both at once. Like, okay, we got to choreograph this, but then also be able to CG this shot in.
Yeah. Must have been a pain in the ass. By the way, that made no sense right there. How can she do that? She sort of just walks up the pipe with her hands. Again, they got punked out by Toad. By Toad! Sabretooth, I can understand, sure, but...
I mean, Toad's a trained fighter, I'm sure.
True, but... It's fucking Toad! This is coming from... Again, this is probably my bias, but like...
Oh, man, like, the wire work in this movie is just so dumb-looking.
Finally, Toad gets his ass. Like, Toad's a joke. Like, even, like, in the
comics... This line, by the way, was written by Joss Whedon.
Really? Avengers, critically acclaimed director of Avengers and soon-to-be Age of Ultron, huh?
Uh-huh.
He wrote this line. How?
He wrote this line.
Did he say he wrote this line? I didn't even know that.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Shining moment right here, baby.
This upcoming line right here.
Yep.
It's so bad. Like, it's a notoriously bad line.
Yeah. That doesn't, like, yeah.
Like, apparently, like, the delivery was supposed to be different or something like that, but, like, I can't imagine any delivery in which that line isn't stupid.
Yeah, that's just a dumb line. Like why? What were you thinking, Whedon?
Because he did one of the script treatments for this movie. I think he's uncredited, but I don't remember.
Oh, that's interesting. Speaking of scripts, critically acclaimed voice actor David Hayter actually co-wrote the script for X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, this one, too. He wrote this one.
Oh, did he write this one? I didn't know.
He wrote the script for this movie, yeah.
Ah.
No, Brian Singer and Tom DeSantis did the story.
No wonder it's a stealth mission. Just have a cardboard box around somewhere, and you got a Metal Gear Solid reference like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, he wrote the script for this movie, but I think, I don't know where in the process Whedon was. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Whedon really wasn't a big name at this point, so.
Right.
He probably just knew Hayter or something. I love that.
So here we go. Between the film rights went to Fox in 94. Various scripts and treatments were commissioned from Andrew Kevin Walker, John Logan, Joss Whedon, and Michael Chabon.
Chabon. Yeah.
So there are a bunch of different scripts written, and then I think Hayter ended up writing the final script.
That's cool. This scene always bothered me as a Storm fan because in Storm has claustrophobia. And here she should be losing her shit, but she's not. And it always bothered me, and it will bother me to this day. Like, it would have added a little bit more character to her blandness. God, that seemed really weird. He just kind of just shunts to the wall.
Yeah, there's not great wire work in this movie.
No. Let's point the two characters that are sexually attracted to each other.
Yeah, right? What the hell, man?
No. Magneto likes to watch.
Christopher McQuarrie, by the way, also worked on this movie. Hugh Jackman was cast 3 weeks into filming. That's weird.
That is really weird. Yes, because the guy who can heal himself, that's going to stop him. I'm just saying. This makes sense, though. Taking all those stupid visors and breaking them. Sweet. Again, you think Jean Grey would have been dignified?
I thought you went to the school.
Yeah.
That's a great insult.
Yeah.
Like, oh yes. What a wonderful idea, Cyclops.
Cyclops is a terrible leader, especially in this, in these movies. He sucks.
He's dead. It's true. Why would you even say it's true?
Well, it's like, I don't know.
So unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, if you just cut that where she just says, I saw it myself, it just makes it's a much more better line, but
Yeah.
it's true. Well, yeah, she said it was true. I get.
Like, why would you need to confirm what Jean Grey said?
I'm gonna kill you so hard you were dead. Or that stupid stuff that you see all the time sometimes. See right here, it gives more depth to Magneto. You kind of believe, like, yeah, humans are dicks.
You don't need to believe that, it's just true. It's true.
It's true. We are dicks.
It's
If mutants existed, oh damn right, we would see them persecuted on the news every day. They pro.
again, allegory, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah. Again, like I said, if you sum up X-Men in one word, it's allegory. That is some awkward CGI right there.
Anyone who's different is persecuted. That's just how it works.
Yeah. Because humanity is dumb.
It's true.
This person is different from me, therefore I fear him, therefore I must hate him. Which makes no sense.
It's true.
It's like I guess it's that fear of the unknown, but even then, get over yourself.
Fear of the unknown, by the way, I deal with a lot. I sell computers in Windows 8. Nobody wants it because they don't never seen it. Like, my friend said it was bad. Has your friend used it? No. Then how do they know?
Well, that interface just looks awful.
It looks fine.
Well, it's just like just an awkward interface. At least give me the choice. That's all I ask.
You do have the choice. You can click on desktop and go back to your old interface.
I didn't know that. Well, now I know.
It's just the start menu is different.
Well, people don't like change too. And here we get a actual Wolverine fight scene. Oh, not actual, but like a Sabretooth versus Wolverine 1v1.
1v1 me, bro.
Fox v Fox. Final Destination, no items.
Pretty much.
Although, again, like looking back at this, it's very.
Statue of Liberty, no items.
Yeah. This is very bland when you compare it to future movies. But again, if you're a 10-year-old back in 2000 watching this for the first time, this is riveting shit.
Like, it's still a, just like a standard one-on-one hand-to-hand fight scene with just some claws.
I do like it. I mean, this is the first time you actually see Wolverine get the cut loose. Like, you got a little sneak peek of it with the Mystique fight, but this is the first time you get to see him like use his claws against somebody who doesn't need to worry about he'll actually want to hurt. This is kind of weird though. Like that's some video game level shit right there. And not in the good way.
Well, again, written by Metal Gear Solid's David Hayter. Because he's just used to video game shit.
Yeah. Like back then that looked cool, but like now you can notice like that's clearly CGI.
Although, I don't know. I mean, depends on the writing. Some writers will just write fight scene and then let the choreographer deal with it.
I think that's better. You get a
It
more.
depends.
I think it all
I mean, it
depends
depends on the
on.
writer and what you're doing.
Well, I think it. Personally, me, I'd rather let the fight. Like, obviously, you have to have the fight ends, but like how it gets to there,
I mean, yeah, but
like.
it depends on the history of the writer. Like, for
True.
example, the sets in every Tim Burton movie are tightly scripted because Tim Burton used to be a set designer.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as a personal preference, like I'd rather let the either the stunt doubles or the actors try to tell the story, and we'll figure out how to do an ending from that. I think it's much more cooler to see something flow organically.
You can a lot of times tell a director's history from the look of a film. Like, if it's, if the act if you if they're bringing a lot of the actors, they're going to be like a theater director. If it looks really beautiful, it might be a set designer. If it's, depending on the dialogue, it might be the writer. Min could be a cinematographer if the cinematography looks, it just depends.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody's got to start somewhere, and sometimes those jobs just stick with you where you incorporate a lot of it when you're the head hon when you're in charge.
Right, and sometimes you don't even try and intend to be the head honcho. You just want to be that guy, and then
It just
you
happens.
become another guy. Yeah, like I don't know if Tim Burton always wanted to be a director, but
It just happened, and he just
you could see he was a set designer.
Which there was a I'm gonna just you know now nah, I'll tell you off recording. It's very windy, Hugh. You act windy.
So they didn't just tell him to act windy. I'm sure they actually
There's a
turned
wind
a fan
machine.
on in his
Yeah.
face.
Just go. This is actually an action figure. I remember having this of it came with a little like that. I don't think it came with Rogue, but I know it came with that little set piece thing of Wolverine, and you press the button and he did like a little slashing move. There was a lot of X-Men toys. You don't see X-Men toys anymore.
Because
The freaking rights, and Marvel doesn't want to. Yeah, it's
yeah,
stupid.
Marvel owns the rights to the toys,
Yeah.
and they don't want.
If you're listening to this, go to your Toys R Us or wherever you buy toys, and you won't see future Days of Futures Past or X-Men First Class toys at all. Like
Yeah.
you'll find like these toys. I love these toys as a kid.
And then there's the introduction of Rogue's hair being having the white streak.
Yeah. It's such an odd way to introduce it. I kind of wish they just gave it to her naturally. You know, just like she had it. But no,
I
they
think
act.
yeah, I think it was an odd way to introduce Professor X can't walk too
Oh, for in first class?
in First Class.
Yeah.
They did a lot of odd introductions of things in these movies.
Well, X-Men's always been off the beaten path, so. Oh no, I've been hit!
Or why is Beast blue?
Yeah. Actually, Beast shows up in X too. He's there.
Yes, it does.
Yes, but then he's all of a sudden blue. Again, this is the time when continuity really wasn't a thing in the movies.
Well, and it's like a minor cameo in X2.
Yeah, it's like, and you wouldn't even notice it unless you're paying attention.
Right.
It's
And
a throwaway.
anybody could be
Same way
Doc
that
Henry.
in Scarlet Witch and Remy LeBeau and Pietro Maximoff are all referenced in X2 as well. Now we get a replicating of that bedroom scene, and not in the awkward way. You can take that out of context if you want.
Cool, I'll just touch your face.
I don't know about you, but the version I'm walking on, like from like this perspective right here, it's like really bright lighting. Like there's noticeably bright spots. It could just be
There's a
me.
lot of bright lighting coming from the side, and I'm sure that's intentional.
It looks awkward though. Like I don't get the point. Like it just becomes distracting. Versus like here, it's more subdued.
Yeah, you're
Like
watching the Blu-ray, right?
yeah, that's probably it.
I'm watching it. It was free on Google Play Movies a while ago. So I downloaded it for free.
Wolverine doesn't cry. Yeah, he does. I did like this some effect that like all the recent battle scars take a hold. Wasn't
Yeah.
like it was cool, but it kind of just like it, but this is a nice like sort of little touch. Surprisingly, he doesn't die from it. There's a lot of blood loss.
Well, because the power comes back eventually, and
Well, yeah, but still, like.
it's like it's you know th those scars had already technically healed.
Yeah.
Like it was a symbolic, really, those scars coming back. Is not really how Rogue's power ever worked after that either.
No. Well, Rogue kind of,
Rogue
but
is kind of a non-factor in the next two
which
movies.
is a shame, which is like, well, what was the point of building her up in this movie? I mean, X3 I can't really fault because Singer left. He ditched X-Men for Superman. But like, you know.
And you got Rush Hour director Brett Ratner coming in.
Ugh. I'll say all my words with X3 when that shit when we do that. Oh God. Fuck that movie. Ugh. I am magically awake now just for the plot to come by. Oh, Jean Grey, you are so wasted in these movies. It's not even funny. And when you do get your just reward, you die. How fitting. You're not a man unless you have chest hair like Sir Patrick Stewart.
Or Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but I mean, for an older dude, that outside shot was pointless.
It's an establishing shot. It's the daytime now.
I guess it just seems kind of like weird.
Well, no, the point is to establish that it's not the same night anymore.
Oh, that time has moved on. Okay. I do remember seeing Days of Futures Past and the moment where you see Hugh Jackman butt-ass naked. And there were several ladies in the audience. I'm pretty sure I heard all of them go, "Oh,"
Pretty sure you
and
did
it
too.
popped a little bit, but also I felt very impotent because I'm like, I can never compete with that. I can never ever compete. I mean, that's fine. I've come to terms with that, but like, it's just like, as a man, I'm like, I can't help but feel a little bit like I should fucking work out, like at least a little bit. Look at Hugh. Then again, he gets paid to work out, so.
Women want to be with him, men also want to be with him.
I have never denied that. I have never denied that. Hugh Jackman is a very handsome man. Like, seriously, have you seen him? We're watching him now.
Yes, I'm definitely looking at 15 years younger Hugh Jackman right now.
Even like now, like he still looks great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty much the same now.
Yeah. I want that jacket. God damn it. I want that jacket so bad. I want like find the costume designer who made that jacket. And, like, can you make me one? I'll pay you $1,500.
I
Sir,
think they sell replicas of them online.
I want to find out how much they are. I just love to wear it.
I think Dragon had found one.
Now she looks like more like Rogue. Oh, look, we actually gonna get sequel bait, kinda. By the way, don't you think it'd be really interesting if a senator who is hard on one thing and then all of a sudden within like 48 hours he changes his position?
It happens.
Like, no, I would think like something happened.
It happens, though.
Okay, I guess. I don't follow politics as much, but I'm like, but like even then, like if it's not like a like something clearly happened behind the scenes that we're not aware of, if you were to change your position like that.
Right.
You know, it's like what the f and I'm curious as I am, I want to know what the fuck happened.
My favorite thing, though, is that she, like, Mystique is like, oh, I'm pretending that I'm about to have a heart attack soon. Like, oh, look at that. We're just going to kill him off.
This is sort of emphasizing Wolverine as the lone wolf. I gotta find out who I am, yada, yada, yada. And it's a shame because there's not a lot of con I mean there is more scenes, but like there's no more personal scenes like this in the feature movies at all between Hugh and Anna Marie. That's her character name, not her real name. Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on, her character's name is Anna Marie. I mean, I'm gonna flip up every now and then.
Anna Paquin and Hugh Jackman
Yeah.
almost rhymes.
And the thing is, she's not even in Days of Futures Past, at least in the theatrical cut.
Is she in the
In the summer, they're releasing a new version of the movie where she's in it and she plays a pivotal role. I don't know. I don't know, but just to give every preference, we're not recording that version, we're recording the theatrical version, so. Sorry, kiddos. I do like this idea, this
I'm
plastic
just,
prison. I had that
yeah.
chess piece. Did you ever have this chess piece?
That glass chess set? I think I had one like it. My brother did, at least.
1 year, my younger brother got like 12 Christmas chess sets for Christmas. Like everybody, like he like had grown a appreciation for chess, and like every one of our family members and friends just got him chess pieces. So like.
Yeah, my brother has played chess for like he competitively. So people buy him chess sets, and he's like, I don't want this.
It's like I don't even understand why would you like buy like I get like I would get like special edition ones, like especially if you're a fan of something, but like not like of the same thing over and over again. It's just like I can already play chess. I don't need multiple of
And
these.
he's like, I have my competition chess set, and that's really all I want. I don't need this stupid marble chess set that my aunt got me or whatever.
Yeah. I do like this idea, like it's the smart bubble prison, or plastic prison to keep Magneto in check, that he can't. Yeah, it's like one of those like, of course, because
Of
it's,
course.
we one day will record Street Fighter. I swear to God, we will. I swear to God, I have it on Blu-ray. And that movie is still better than The Legend of Chun-Li.
Wasn't Chun-Li, if I remember right, came out the same year as Dragon Ball Evolution?
I think it came out like either a year after.
Something like that.
Yeah. I paid money for that movie and I felt so bad.
With Kristen Kruick. Lana Lang as
As
Chun-Li.
yeah, she was not Chun-Li at all. That movie wasn't Street Fighter. It was just like horrible bad attempt at doing a martial arts movie. And there we go.
Was the
What was
X-Men?
that was X-Men 1. Final thoughts on X-Men 1.
Shorter than Dark Knight Rises. It was an enjoyable movie. They're just screaming from David Hayter.
No gear.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. It definitely was kind of slow, but like, I don't know. Yeah, not a lot really happened. It was like one mission, which I guess that's how you kind of have to do a story, but I don't know. It was a fun movie. I hadn't seen it in a while, so.
It's obviously hasn't like certain aspects haven't aged that well.
There was really not as much focus on the team as I think there should have been.
No, it was very much Wolverine, Rogue, Magneto story.
Right.
And again, like I said, especially and it's all evident because they get punked out by Toad, that Storm, Cyclops, and Jean Grey, essential characters to what you would think to the movie. Kind of are, like Jean Grey gets a little bit more screen time, but she doesn't get any like character development at all,
Right.
where you care about her, you know about her. Storm doesn't either. Cyclops is just fuck Cyclops, nobody cares about
Well,
him.
even like Iceman, who I actually like, I didn't realize. I thought he had much more development in this movie, but it was,
No,
I guess it's all in X2.
yeah, X2 is where he gets like the big sort of push, which is cool, and in X3 it all fucks up again,
Well,
but.
in X3, it's all about how, because like Rogue is more of a factor in X3, and it's like, oh, he likes
The other girl now,
Shadowcat now.
which is funny because they actually for a while they were dating, in the comics. So it's like that predated everything, which is crazy. But I thought this was a good movie. It's just fun. I think it's cool. Again, I think what more people should do is they should appreciate that this movie really kicked off the superhero genre of Hollywood that we've known today. You wouldn't have like obviously Dark Knight has like established it and everything. That it's the thing that's gonna stay, but this is what made people think you could make superheroes not dumb and not campy and make them legitimately entertaining Hollywood
I think it
movies.
definitely suffered from having too many characters and not focusing on them at all.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause they did a really good job of focusing on a lot of those characters in First Class, which we'll talk about when we get there.
Yeah,
But
First Class is a superior film. I will agree.
oh yeah, of course,
And
yeah.
not
Like,
even
but
like
like,
not even like from hindsight, just from characters alone, it's a superior
yeah,
movie.
it's just this is all just it's the Wolverine show,
Yeah,
and
I mean, which if it was called The Wolverine, I don't think everybody would have mind. But if it was called Wolverine the X-Men, but because it's called the X-Men, you come into this expectation where like, well, we're gonna get all the X-Men, but really, you get three
Storm has
X-Men.
like four lines in this movie. Like, she has very few lines.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like eye
And
candy. It's all eye
like,
candy. It's really just
yeah,
eye
well, no,
candy.
Storm does very little, and Jean Grey's role in this movie is pretty much love interest, and Scott Summers' role in this movie is basically love interest's boyfriend.
Slash leader. Well, whatever you claim as leader.
Yeah, like, Professor X has a role in this movie, like he does what he does. But yeah, it's very much
It's
just.
not a team movie when you think about it. But then again, this is also something like this had never been done before. Like a big
Yeah.
ensemble superhero cast. So there
But
are some
like,
growing pains. And it
it's not
does
that they
get.
hadn't done an ensemble. It's not like that you haven't done an ensemble cast movie before, That's the kind of thing that you should know how to handle an ensemble cast. If you don't know how to handle an ensemble cast, you shouldn't be taking the helm of this movie. Which is probably a criticism of David Hayter as a screenwriter,
Yeah.
which, because when Joss Whedon was working on this movie, Joss Whedon in the script treatments, I'm sure he did. He's the guy who was known for his ensemble cast in Buffy, and
Yeah.
Christopher McQuarrie had done The Usual Suspects. Like, these are people who who have worked with these ensemble cast before, and
David Hayter.
I don't know. What else David Hayter has written.
I mean, he's written stuff before. You know, obviously, he wouldn't have gotten this job if he didn't have experience. Or maybe he just knew somebody. But like,
he had no live action movie writing credits before this.
And maybe that was kind of, again, maybe that's growing pains on his end. You know.
Yeah. Like he after this, he wrote X2.
He wrote
Austin Oz. He wrote The Scorpion King. He wrote Watchmen. He wrote Chasm. He's got a. This is his first feature film that he wrote.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But yeah, like it's just he, and you know, a writer of Watchmen is not much of a credit.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I bet he just brought the book into we're doing this. Okay.
Yeah, like
say this.
I mean, like, yeah. Like there's Let's be fair here.
Yeah. Alan Moore should be getting the screen credit for that one.
But X2, I think he handled the team aspect a lot better.
Yes, especially because the team is divided a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lot of maybe it is just growing pains as a writer in his first movie, which is interesting that someone's first movie would be
X-Men.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's going to do it for X-Men. Let us know what you think of X-Men 1. As always, please comment on the website. Let us know. Spread us through social media on Twitter. You can follow me at Marvel Siggy. You can follow Kuhan at Kuhan. It's just at Kuhan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, of course, if Dragon, unfortunately, is not here, he should be back in time for X2, hopefully, because more shenanigans will be involved for X2. I hope he'll definitely be here for X3 because, god damn it, I'm going to need a drink after we finish X3. I'm going to need two drinks after we finish X-Men Origins Wolverine. But this officially kicks off the X-Men movie marathon from now all the way till Days of Futures Past.
Oh, also, iamkuhan.com is my other thing. That's the way I find all this stuff.
Yes.
But yes.
iamkuhan.com. Support our internet celebrity. He's doing us a favor by being here.
You guys, you're going to get way bigger than me at some point. As soon as I'll tell people, and people will tell people, and
I hope so.
Feel like it's going to be big. Yeah. I swear, man, it's a good idea.
So with that being said, have a good night, have a good day, whatever you're doing, and we will see you all for X-Men 2, X-Men United.